Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. This is a podcast that's majorly focused on Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire, but sometimes we do occasional miscellaneous stuff. So today we'll be covering the John Carpenter movie Halloween and its recent sequel, 40 years later, Halloween 2018. My name is Glenn Douglas Rivers from the podcast Ice and Fire Forums.
Hey, this is Kevin, also known as Gaiden on the Forums.
And it's I'm really excited to be talking about this because this is a movie that, well, a series of movies that I've been really addicted to, watched a lot, watched them repeatedly on TV, collected all of the movies on VHS tapes and later DVDs, read a lot of fan fiction stories about them as well, and followed the making and watched a lot of documentaries on the movies. What about yourself, Kevin?
Yeah, this is my favorite slasher series when you compare it to Freddy and Jason, Michael Winds. I think this series has the most consistent quality of slasher movies. I mean, I grew up watching these on TV.
And that's a good point to make. When you think of Friday the 13th and you think of Nightmare on Elm Street, those movies would not exist had it not been for Halloween.
Right.
Because due to the huge success of the 1978 Halloween film, that led to the Friday the 13th movies, that led to a whole new genre of films through the slasher flicks that were hugely popular.
Yeah, I think even the director of, Friday the 13th said that he wrote Friday the 13th just to cash in on Halloween.
Exactly, it created a whole new genre of films with the slasher flicks that were hugely popular at the time, around the late 70s, early 80s. They didn't become, around the time of Halloween 6, that's when they had really lost flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But then after Scream, there was a huge resurgence, which led to, of course, Halloween H2O and the later movies. And right now, horror is quite a big thing at this present time. So I think Halloween, the recent Halloween movie has a good place to capture that success, and it's shown with the box office numbers.
Yeah, and the success of this movie, they're already talking about doing a Friday the 13th reboot. So it seems like whenever Michael gets popular, Jason sides in to make himself known. So yeah.
Have they not already done that? A reboot of Friday the 13th?
They did, and I don't think it was as successful as they wanted to be. So they kind of just forgot about it. They even did the a reboot of A Nightmare on Elm Street too, and that was terrible.
I watched about half of that. I didn't like it as much as the, well, then again, I hated the Halloween movie, the 2007 Rob Zombie Halloween movie, but I was more interested in that when it came out than the Friday the 13th or the Nightmare movie, the Nightmare remake, when that came out.
I didn't completely hate the Friday the 13th reboot, but I did not like the reboot of the Freddy movie. That it got everything wrong, the character, the atmosphere, it just dreadful. But yeah, the Jason movie, it was all right.
So do you remember how exactly you first got started with Halloween?
Not entirely. I do know that we kind of had cable off and on growing up, and they played the Halloween movies a lot on network TV, of course, heavily edited. So I'm pretty sure I watched it randomly on TV one day, and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool.
I remember for me that growing up, I didn't really go to the cinema that much, maybe a handful of times up until the age of 20. I didn't go to, you know, days out with family to the cinema, and didn't really go with friends. Not that I'm deprived, but just that's like one thing that I wish I had done a bit more when I was when I was younger because I really like the movie going experience.
Yeah.
One movie that we did get to go and see was the movie Mulan by Disney, and I remember sitting in the movie theater. That was maybe the first movie we had gone to as a family for 3 years, and sitting in the movie theater, waiting. The screen is still blank, and that's maybe 20 minutes after it. The movie had supposed was supposed to start, and then we kept waiting. Eventually, someone came out from the staff. They said, "Oh, sorry, the projector has broken down. We'll get the movie started, but you might have to wait a while." So, I think it was a full hour before. Well, the movie was supposed to start at 1, perhaps, and then it didn't start until 2 p.m. And that's when the trailers started and all the advertisements that you normally see before the movie. So it was quite disappointing, but they made up for it. They just refunded us for that movie, so we still got to see it, which was great. And then they gave us tickets, free tickets to the next movie you want to see. So for everyone there, we got free tickets to see the next movie. So when we went to the next movie, we looked at the listings. It was maybe a month later from when we watched Mulan, and me and my sister went to see Small Soldiers, which was quite decent at the time. I don't really remember it much, but I think I quite enjoyed it for like, because I was quite young at the time, so it was an age to enjoy it. And my mum went along, and she went on her own to see Halloween H2O, with that being a, I guess that would have been an 18, so we couldn't get into it anyway. But she went to see that. I think that was the first time I had ever heard of the Halloween series. And ironically, even though we were watching the kids' film, Halloween H2O was quite a short movie. It's only about 80, 75, 80 minutes long. So by the time she had finished watching her movie, she came along and seen the tail end of Small Soldiers with us. So sort of sneaked in to watch like the last 20 minutes or so of our movie. And then that just got me thinking. I maybe seen a few adverts about it on TV. And then I think the next year, 1999, they played the first movie, Halloween, on TV. So we sat around the TV and watched it. And I remember really enjoying it and, jumping at quite a few parts of it, and loved the theme song of the movie. And then I didn't watch them in sequence. So I think the next movie I may have watched Halloween 4, maybe a few years later, and then really got hooked around 2003, 2004. I remember going on holiday, and that was to Benidorm with my family, and I would go to like some internet cafes to pass the time. We would watch, we would go to quite a few stand-up comedians and like watch their acts. But before then, you had a lot of waiting, so I would go to some internet cafes, and I would be reading like Halloween fan fiction stories, and people had written their own version of what a script would be for a Halloween movie. So watch, read some of those, and bought quite a few of the movies at that time. Watched Halloween 2 for the first time. Had watched Halloween H2O quite a lot. Sort of liked Halloween Resurrection, but it wasn't great. And then when Halloween came out, the 2007 Rob Zombie, it was quite, hyped up for that. Bought it, hated it, didn't watch the second one, and then sort of lost interest in the series until maybe around 2012, 2013. That's when I got into a lot of the videos online, so on YouTube from horror conventions. And Jamie Lee Curtis did this amazing Q&A session. So for a full hour, she talks about her experience with Halloween films, breaking out of the horror genre, doing other movies, then coming back for each two. Oh, she's got a great story on doing Halloween.
So you read a lot of fan fiction. So you've read a lot of Michael versus Leatherface versus Freddy.
It was more on, I think that even though a lot of people don't like it, I always liked the idea of Halloween. No, Halloween exists and Michael Myers does what he does to kill off all his family. So I really loved that part of it. So I was quite annoyed that they, airbrushed that out in the latest movie. But just most of the stories I would read would be like how they would tie up Halloween Resurrection to a new movie, and it would be like what happened to Laurie's son John from Halloween H2O, or they would try and bring in characters from Halloween 6, like Michael's son from Halloween 6,
Oh
and
yeah, I completely forgot that she had a son in Resurrection. I watched that this morning. Yeah, I forgot about Josh Hartnett.
yeah. He was quite big at the time. He was doing quite a lot of movies. I think he did 40 Days and 40 Nights around that time. Oh, and also when they were explaining in the movie about Laurie being, trying to be protective of her daughter and she's got all the guns in her house. She's training her daughter. I'm surprised that they didn't maybe, I don't know, mention or like say how she has a granddaughter, Alison, that she didn't have a grandson, John, or something like that. Just some, even though with this movie there are a lot of tie-ins and like nods to the other movies in the series. Like some of the sequences that happen when she does, when Michael walks into the bathroom, kills the two podcasters, which is very similar to what happened in Halloween H2O, even though he didn't kill those people, the mother and daughter in Halloween H2O. It was very, the scene, the way it was shot, the way it was filmed, I thought it was like a nod to Halloween H2O.
Michael Myers doesn't like podcasters. Oh no. So you don't like the fact that they changed the his relationship to Laurie from brother and sister to just two strangers?
That's right, just random girl that he almost killed 40 years ago, and now he just wants to make sure he finishes the job this time. I always really loved the idea of them being long lost brother and sister, and these going after her directly because of that, even though it's not in the original Halloween, but I always liked that idea. So it was, and also that's like the foundation of the series, that he has all these relatives, his niece in 4, 5, and 6, and the son that he produced that he wants to go and kill, and the fact that he was going after Laurie 20 years later, and that coincided with her son being 17 at the time. I always thought that was, it was a good theme to have throughout the series. So I didn't really quite like the fact that they just said, "Oh, forget that, that never happened. That was a myth."
I kind of like both options. I think with the original plot where he's her, where they're siblings, the issue with that is they kind of over, they tried to do too much with that with the mythology, because once it went from them to being brother and sister to all the nonsense with the mark, the Curse of Thorn and Samhain, or Samhain as Loomis said. And the Curse of Michael Myers, like they did too much to explain the backstory of why Michael wants to kill Laurie. So making them brother and sister was an interesting thing, but then over explaining it to where it's a curse and he's destined to kill his family and there's a whole cult behind it, that was silly to me. But I do like in this movie that now that they don't have that relationship anymore, Michael doesn't really care about Laurie. He's not out to get her again. Like there's no vengeance between them, but she wants to kill him, but he has no interest in finding her. They have to bring Michael to Laurie's house for them to face off, which I thought was hilarious. because there's that extended scene where, or that extended shot where Michael arrives in Haddonfield and he gets the hammer, and then he goes in the lady's house and he kills her. He gets the butcher knife, then he goes back outside and he's like, which house do I want to go to next? And he goes next door and he kills that lady. He's the worst trick-or-treater ever. But yeah, I like that he's has no direction. He's like this aimless storm that's going from place to place, just killing because he wants to, and not because he has anyone in mind.
Which I did think was a reference to Halloween 2. So in Halloween 2, he goes to the neighbor next door. It's an old couple. He doesn't kill them, but he takes the knife from the old lady as she goes into the kitchen to make a sandwich. Then he walks out the door and goes next, like, to the house next door and like kills the young 20-year-old girl. And so yeah, I did think it was like that's another like tie-in with the series.
And I think they said that the girl on the phone is having a conversation. Like, the names of the characters are the same. She's talking to the same person that the other girl in the original Halloween 2 was talking to.
Oh, well, that's it was the teacher, which I didn't really know this, but when they do that, when they do that sequence where it's the granddaughter, she's in class, it turns out the teacher is PJ Souls, who's the girl from Halloween, and then she looks outside and it's Laurie Strode.
So it's the same teacher that was teaching Laurie?
No, as in Laurie had the two best friends at Halloween, so there's Annie, who was like she gets trapped in a window and the girl helps her down. It's not her, but it's the other one.
Alinda, I think her name is.
Yep. Oh, yep, Linda. That's it.
Okay, that's cool.
I mean, I didn't know that. I just read it somewhere or heard it maybe on another podcast. But yep, I thought that was quite a good, nod to the movies. I love when they do things like that. And then it's just something that you pick up over time. You don't know instantly, but over time or on repeat watches, it's something you figure out.
Yeah, there are a lot of shots that mimic. I think there are a lot of scenes in this movie that pay homage to every movie in the franchise. I'm not sure if they do the Rob Zombie ones, but like there are a bunch of scenes that go back to the first film, the second film, and so on. Like when Laurie gets tossed off the balcony and Michael looks down and he's like, "Yep, she's dead." He turns around and looks back and she's gone. That was
I
awesome.
did I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I did read something that they have something in the movie that's a reference to Halloween 3, but since I only watched about 10 minutes of that, I can't really point out what exactly.
I know what you're talking about, though. It's when Michael gets into t to town and the trick-or-treaters bump into him. Wait, no, it's when Laurie pulls up to the house that the babysitter was killed in, and she's telling the kids to get away. Michael's here, run, run, run. Three of the kids are wearing masks that are from the Halloween 3 movie.
All right.
Because that movie's about, I think, some sort of curse that some sorcerer puts on mask, and if kids wearing the mask and they hear a certain theme song at a certain time, they die.
So for those that have not watched the series before, or if you've maybe seen adverts for Halloween, the latest movie, and you're thinking about going along to see it, but you're not sure, or if you're not sure whether you should watch it because it's technically the 10th film, no, ninth film in a series, then it's a movie that you could watch independently because it doesn't really hinge on watching that first movie.
That's true.
With the Halloween series, and they've done this quite a few times, they ignore some movies in the series in which you can still enjoy it. And with this movie, it picks up 40 years later after 1978 when Michael kills three of Laurie's friends, and she has Laurie has suffered with trauma after that experience, and she has been obsessed with Michael Myers, that she's built her home into a big booby trap, that there's she's got tons of ammo, guns. She's worked out a way in which if Michael did enter her home, that she can trap him and kill him, and that's like her main aim in life. But that's affected her family, that's affected her daughter. She doesn't have a great relationship with her daughter because of it.
The
But I
timeline
think it's,
of this franchise is insane.
yeah, exactly. I did see a great post. It's like a flow chart of the Halloween series, and it's like Halloween Build Your Own Adventure. So it's like if you care about Laurie, ignore 4, 5, and 6 and 3 and skip to H2O, and because you could make four, I guess, four different series of movies from this single standalone series. So yeah, this is the second time that they've done it, and we can talk a bit more about that. So when Halloween H2O came out, that was they did it then, that they had made four, three, four, five, and six, which were nowhere near as successful as one and two, maybe did half or a third of the business that those original Halloween films had done. So they went back to the drawing board. Initially, before Jamie Lee Curtis was on board, they were going to make a Halloween seven film. And then luckily she agreed to do the film, because that then revived the series and made it a quite a big film and big event for horror fans. So that I guess they removed, they built the story as Halloween 1 and 2 happened, then she faked her death, as she explains in Halloween H2O, goes to California, and then the story picks up 20 years later. So Michael Myers has been missing ever since. So they've done a similar thing with this movie, except that Halloween 2 didn't happen, and then she ha Laurie has stayed in Haddonfield for these past 40 years.
And that's one of the things I don't like about that movie is, I mean, it's not a bad Halloween sequel. It's probably one of the best ones out of the bunch, but it's so screamified. They actually take music from Scream and put it in there, and it's just
On reflection, I used to love Halloween H2O, but over time, as I grew older and was still watching the movies, I began to realize that it's not that good of a movie. And I think at one point, I think Halloween 4, even though I've not watched it in a long time, I think Halloween 4 is my favorite sequel of the series. And
yeah.
with Hal, I used to think it was Halloween H2O was like the best sequel to Halloween, but it's pretty much a weak story. It doesn't really go that far. I still enjoy it, but I think what makes it is that last 20 minutes of the movie, whereas the first hour you watch of Halloween H2O is pretty forgettable.
It's really dull.
Yes.
And one thing about Michael Myers in these movies is that you got to get the mask right. And in Halloween H2O, you can see his eyes. He's very expressive, and that's not something I want to see in Michael Myers.
No.
In the new one, like his eyes, it's completely black. You can't see in there, and it's like Loomis says, it's nothing in there. There's just only evil, and that's how it should be. But yeah, Halloween 4 is probably. I rewatched it recently, and it's one of the better sequels. It is better than H2O, and it's got Loomis in it, even without Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah, it's kind of like almost a reboot as well, because they kill off Laurie. They say that she died in a car crash, and now we're dealing with her daughter, Jamie Strode, and it's all about her now, and it's just her and Loomis.
Actually, I was going to say this, that so they did Halloween. That was a huge success. Budget movie, $300,000. They made maybe 20 times that much. No, maybe like 200 times that much back, in terms of box office. So like huge success. It grossed about 47 million, which adjusted is about 200 million today. So like huge for a horror film. Started that slasher flick craze, inspired, well, even though we can't say exactly that exactly as fact, but pretty much inspired the Friday the 13th films. And then they did Halloween 2, modest success, so that did about half the business that Halloween did. But then the big drop was when they did Halloween 3. So with Halloween 2, they had shot both his eyes out. They had burned him alive. So Dr. Loomis burns an entire ward of a hospital with Michael in it, and
And
we were
himself.
at, including themselves. So with the idea that this is over, that's the end of Michael Myers' story. And John Carpenter came back with Halloween 3, I think he did. And the idea was that it was going to be a new Halloween story. And that's where Halloween 3 came out. But then, so it didn't do as well as the first two Halloween films. And that led to the writers thinking up a story. Okay, we can't get Jamie Lee Curtis back because she's quite a big star now. She's doing comedies, all these other types of genres, but she refuses to come back to horror because she was known as the Scream Queen and she wanted to distance herself from that role that she had at the time. So we can't get Jamie Lee Curtis back. So that's where they drew up the idea of having it about her daughter, Jamie's daughter, that Michael is trying to get back to murder her. And that continues that family connection that they had built up with Halloween 2. And they were able to get Dr. Loomis back. I think originally the idea was that he died in that fire in Halloween 2, but because they were making Halloween 4, they made it that he just had a few burns on his face. And then Halloween 4 comes out, and the way they talk it up, I've seen interviews, I've read articles about it, about Halloween 4 at the time, that it was like celebrated as this big hit, Return of Michael Myers. But ironically, it was I would say it was just as successful as Halloween 3, so I don't know why after Halloween 4 they still continued with Michael Myers.
I mean, it had to make some sort of profit as a horror movie. So they figured, let's just keep milking this cow while we got it.
I know.
And that's when we meet Danielle Harris, who she was in Halloween, the Rob Zombie movies, as Annie Brackett.
That's right, yes.
One thing about these movies is that you gotta have someone from the main storyline. You have to have either Laurie, Dr. Loomis, or what is her character? Jamie in these movies. That's why Halloween Resurrection, I think, wasn't successful. So really just have a string of death scenes put together and Busta Rhymes doing karate.
But I am quite interested to find out what they'll do next, because you know it's pretty much guaranteed a sequel after, you know, it's done so well. There's been a lot of great reviews of the movie, and it's like broken records with for a horror movie in terms of box office. It'll probably finish around 160 million. So that's like 16 times what they spent on the movie.
It's ridiculous.
I know. So, oh, and it ties in with Halloween Resurrection. So at the time, Oh, when I was talking about that story around Halloween Resurrection, that Jamie Lee Curtis says that she approached John Carpenter, Deborah Hill at the time, and they would all be back for the movie, but then Deborah Hill and John Carpenter wanted too much money, so they didn't do it. That's why they brought in Kevin Williamson and Steve Miner, who she had worked with at the time on a few other movies. So the idea of Halloween H2O is it was going to be the final movie, that they were going to kill Michael Myers, and they had an idea in place of how they would do it.
But speaking of the H2O ending, that I had no idea that they had plans for another movie after H2O, which was the wretched mess that is Halloween Resurrection. But
Exactly.
when she chops his head, before she chops his head off, if that's supposed to be some other guy, just take the mask off. What are you doing? Why are you reaching out to her as if you're long lost siblings? Just take the mask off if you can't talk. But you can, when she chops his head off, you can just feel the release, that cathartic moment where she's like, "Yes, I finally killed this motherfucker." But I
There's a
guess the
clear nod that if you're watching it again, having watched Resurrection, you can realize that it's not the same person because he doesn't act the same as what Michael Myers would act, except for the fact that he gets trampled against a tree by a van and still lives. That's the only thing that you would think no nor normal person could actually survive.
No, only Michael Myers, who is immortal, could survive that. So, no, the whole thing is just silly.
But yeah, the guy does a few things, like he grabs the mask as in, like, why am I wearing this mask? And then he reaches out his hand, which Michael wouldn't do, and there's a few other things that you could think after watching it the first time and you're revisiting the series and you know what happened in Halloween Resurrection, that you can sort of think, oh, okay, I can believe that that's not Michael in that mask.
But it's so silly, and it's a slap in the face to the audience to do something like that, and I'm glad that that movie's been erased from the timeline.
Yes.
But for the future of the new Halloween timeline, what do you think about Allison as a character?
I did read somewhere, I think it was on Reddit, that a few people had the theories. They were saying, similar to what I was saying, I didn't think that Jamie Lee Curtis would be back, that this would maybe revive her career, that she would do all these other movies, and she might come back, but not with a huge role like she has in this movie. But if she does, great. Because I think that there's something really strong about her being in the films that people are really focused on the movies rather than it just being a Michael Myers movie. She brings a lot of star power to these movies when she stars in them. With Allison, a few people had written that in Reddit that they thought, oh, the final shot is with Allison with the knife, and she'll be the new killer, or she'll be the new target if Jamie Lee Curtis does not come back for the movies, which made me think it's like the exact same ending to Halloween 4 when Jamie touches the knife and then kills her stepmother.
Yes, that was a great ending. But they undo that in part 5. They say her mother wasn't
True.
killed, she was just injured, and meh. But Allison, in this movie, I was not really. She doesn't capture your attention like Laurie does in the first movie. I think her character was kind of weak. I didn't really like anything with like her in school was kind of boring. The whole thing with her boyfriend was kind of, why are we doing this? I do like her chasing though. The music, the atmosphere, the setting for that was amazing. But it kind of just fizzles out. Like, it almost feels like she's in her own horror movie within this horror movie. Like when she when they drive her to her grandmother's house and she just jumps out of the van and runs into the forest, and Michael's just staring at her like, "Where are you going?"
I can see your point that you could separate the stories and they could work on their own.
Yeah, I like her as an actress and as a character, but I can't see her. I mean, at the end of this movie, she's holding that butcher knife, which is kind of like it's a literal passing of the torch. But I just don't think she could carry Halloween by herself. So I'm really hoping that Jamie Lee Curtis does come back if there's a part two.
Otherwise, it'll be a complete flop. Like Halloween, well, like when Rob Zombie's Halloween came out, and that was quite a big hit. That was like each time they bring it back, that they revive it, they do a movie, and that surpasses all other movies. So Halloween, Rob Zombie did that, and then they bring out a sequel to it, which fades in comparison to the movie they just did. So I think it would be quite a well. Quite a disappointment business-wise and to the fans if they did.
Yeah, to talk about those Rob Zombie movies, the earlier Halloween sequels, like 4 through 6, do too much to explain what Michael Myers is, like his motives, why he's immortal. In the Rob Zombie movies, making him out to be like a standard cookie cutter serial killer, I don't need to see Michael's childhood. I don't need to know why he is the way he is. He just is. And I think Rob Zombie just did not understand the character at all. And he kind of ruins it with the sequel, where he's like this hulking hellbilly tossing cars. I don't know. Those movies were just really wrong-headed, and I'm glad those are also removed from the timeline.
The only one that I'm disappointed with is not including Halloween 2 from the timeline. I thought that would have been good. Well, then that makes sense because they were getting rid of the family connection thing. But I think it's just because that was the night, more of the night he came home. So it was like still set in 1978. So I would have just liked that to have been included within their new timeline that. Halloween happened, Halloween 2 happened 40 years later. And I think that it makes more sense that Laurie would have been the way she is with being overprotective with her daughter, looking out in all directions, thinking all these plans, what will I do if he comes back? Whereas she doesn't really have much of, nothing really happens between her and Michael. He comes along in the first movie and tries to kill her a few times, but I think that what added to that was Halloween 2, where he hunts her to a hospital, kills the people, the staff working at that hospital, and tries to hunt her again. I think that would have been that would have added more to why her character is like that in Halloween 2018.
I mean, that's true. Going back and watching the first one again, I mean, her experience with Michael is it's traumatizing, it's terrifying, all that. But it's a small part of that movie, and the body count is really low as well. You would think that he killed a lot of people, but it was only 3 teenagers, the mechanic, and his sister in the beginning. So it was only 5 people. Yeah, it was a really bad night for Jamie. What's her character name? Laurie. It was a terrible night for her, but it was only a small part of her night. So yes, if they included Halloween 2, you can see why it scarred her so much, because he was really coming after her. So it makes sense that she would assume that he would come after her again.
I remember watching an interview that Jamie Lee Curtis did. I think it was in Australia when she was promoting the film, and she said, I wanted to know what happened to. No, she knew what would happen to Laurie on November the 1st, the day after, that her parents would say, You're fine, Laurie, go back to school. But then I don't believe that. I don't think that's exactly how it would happen. Maybe That would have happened, but not exactly the next day.
You're fine, go back to school. I would assume that she would have to deal with counseling, the loss of her friends. I don't think she would have recovered that easily.
I think that the reason why she said that is because it was an entirely different time to now, where people are much more protective and considerate of mental health issues. I think that's where she was going with that, and people weren't as protective of their kids when it came to trick or treating, that they could go out and trick or treat until maybe like 11, well, long into the hours, whereas the parents are like more chaperoning and like having a close eye on their kids. I think that she was going along that angle.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We're more aware of mental health issues.
Yes. So with this movie, it begins with that's I think it's with Smith Grove Sanitary. You see Michael, and it's the original actor that portrayed him in 1978. Which, oh well, that was part of the promotion, that they advertised that the original Michael is back, and or Jamie Lee Curtis is back, so they're reteaming, and it'll parallel the first movie that both actors are back. However, it's there's two actors that played Michael in the original movie, the one where he's wearing the mask, then one where he's not wearing the mask. So it's the one that was wearing the mask in the original 1978 film that's back, but just for that, I think just for that Smith Grove scene. But after that, he's portrayed by a different actor for the rest of the film.
It's a shame we couldn't have gotten Donald Pleasance back. Of course, he's passed away, so we can't
He's
get him.
dead.
Yeah, but it's a shame that we for a sequel we couldn't have gotten like the Trinity of the original Michael, Laurie, and Donald, Dr. Loomis back together.
What did you think of the new Loomis?
Oh, that guy! I really like what they did with the twist towards the end, because in the beginning you think, okay, he is the new Loomis. Laurie just hit the. She said what everyone else is thinking, that he's going to be the doctor who's trying to hunt Michael down with the sheriff, and he's going to be saying, oh, he's pure evil, he's darkness personified. But then you find out that he did this. He's probably the one that released Michael. He set him on this path because he wants to see his prized subject in the wild, like in his natural habitat, I guess. So yeah, I really that's why I had to go see it again. For the second time in one day, because that twist changed everything about the first three quarters of the movie.
Two things about that. I read somewhere that they changed the ending to this film. Originally, Laurie was to die, and I can't remember how they finished Michael, but Laurie was to die. But in that original ending, or that original version of the movie, it was actually Laurie that caused that bus crash to happen, and she planned that so that he could escape, and then she had a chance to kill him.
That would have been okay. So first, I did read one ending where she gets really wounded and Michael is kind of mortally wounded and he just kind of like sits down somewhere and you just assume that he dies from his
Oh, I
wounds.
think that was it, yeah.
But if she had caused a bus crash, that would have made her a darker character. I'm not sure if she would have had a lot of audience sympathy if she's responsible for his next massacre.
And that's why in the original version, or why I think they sort of hint at it with what we have in the film, because that's why she got drunk and showed up to her daughter's birthday party, and it was because of that that she had caused that bus crash, that she knew what would happen, that he would get out and kill a lot of people as a result of her actions, and that's why she got drunk and she almost like walked out into the road, the busy road, and got knocked down.
That's a good scene.
But another is when the new Loomis, the doctor, kills the policeman, wears Michael's mask. I thought they were going for another Halloween resurrection, H2O ending, resurrection ending that, and I sort of think they might do it. No, in fact, that won't happen because we've seen him, Michael stomp on that man's face, so that won't happen. But it did make me think, oh, he's wore, someone else wore Michael's mask. Maybe someone else could have done that, and that's who we see in Laurie's basement when she sets the house on fire.
I sincerely hope not, because
Yes.
if you're in the basement and you're say something, speak, don't just stand there. But the only thing I didn't like about the twist is that silly little penknife that he has. Why do you have that, sir? Have you been planning to do this? It just seemed like he starts monologuing, like he's a because he's just turned into like this evil villain. And I didn't like that he put the mask on for 2 seconds. If he had just killed the cop and maybe kind of sort of explained his motives, it'd have been fine. But all those extra details are just kind of silly. Were you shocked that the boyfriend didn't get killed?
I did think that. So that boy was in a series called Nashville, so that sort of caught me off guard. I was like, oh, he was in Nashville. And then that's right, he cheated on the girlfriend, Allison, and then he just disappears. He's not mentioned again. And then we focus on Allison. She's walking along with her friend that makes a move on her. He dies, and then she runs away from Michael, and then the boyfriend. Yep, exactly. So, and it's ironic because, well, it's not ironic, but it's weird that we see all of Allison's friends. They all die except for that boyfriend.
Of all her friends, he's the one that deserved it the most, and he just gets away. It's kind of weird that Michael does kill the I think her name is Vicky, who's Allison's friend. It seems like of all the people that he could have killed that night, it's just a little bit too much of a coincidence that that babysitter is her friend. It's like the boyfriend kind of exists just to toss her phone in the whipped cream or whatever.
I never thought on that. Yes. With, I guess, Michael killing kids, that's like a big discussion as well on message boards and forums, that he kills the boy that wants to dance in the beginning, who must be about 12, 13 years old, and that's probably the youngest person that Michael has killed. But then if we believe that if we believe that Halloween 4 existed, then he was hunting a 7-year-old girl.
Yeah, people are like, oh no, Michael's killing kids. I'm like, he tried through two movies to kill his own little niece, so it's not out of the realm of believability that he would kill this kid.
And part of me thought that he had three chances to kill a child, so he did it with the boy. I mean, he probably only did it so that he could steal that car. Whereas, I don't know, well, anyway, he killed that boy, stole the car, drove back to Haddonfield, but then he didn't kill the boy that was being babysat. And then when he kills that old woman, well, when he kills that woman, he doesn't kill the baby. But
Did you
then
think he might?
I did, but then I also thought that sure, he didn't kill the baby, but indirectly he may have, because he's killed his mother
Yes.
and left a baby on its own. Who knows when someone will go back in that house? That woman might be a single mother. She could have no family. So then he might as well have killed the baby. I thought.
That's, I thought the same thing. It's gonna starve, man.
Exactly.
But now I wonder, like, he didn't kill the Julian who was being babysat, but who knows, like, if after he killed Vicky, maybe he would have gotten it if Julian didn't leave the movie. Maybe he would have.
Well, I don't know because he had quite a lot of chances. Because Julian comes down the stairs, he says to Vicky that there's someone in my closet, which we know it's Michael, but she's not believing him, the boyfriend's not believing him. But then later on, he's been standing there the whole time, so he's had like 10 minutes to kill Julian and he didn't.
No,
So
what
I
he
don't think
says
he would
is,
have.
he says, there was someone staring at me through my bedroom door. There's someone in the hallway watching me, just staring.
Oh, right.
So I don't, maybe he was playing the long game where he was like, I'm gonna stand in this closet first, kill her, kill the little kid, then kill the, I don't know. I don't know what Michael's thinking.
And even though when it comes to horror films, I can, jump quite a lot, even though at the predictable moments that you know are going to happen, I don't know what it is, but when that happened, I knew Michael would be standing at that right behind the wardrobe, and I was like, oh, just like jumped when it came on.
I wish they didn't show that in the trailer because that was a good scene. I like how they said they, a lot of the scenes in this movie are just improv, people just riffing for a little bit. They said they have like over an hour of footage of just Vicky and Julian, the babysitter and the kid, just talking to each other, which kind of made me
That,
sad when she died, yeah.
well, that does make me as excited for the DVD. If the trouble is with Halloween DVDs, they're never, it doesn't have that behind the scenes footage or deleted scenes. It's bare bones. Here's the movie, here's a trailer, and that's it. They did release this great DVD set that I was reading about a few days ago. I didn't know about it until recently, when the new movie came out, and I was reading about a Halloween H2O commentary that was newly recorded for a new DVD set, and it's on Blu-ray, but sadly they don't release it in the UK, so I can't buy it. But I would buy it. It's like got all these like so commentaries for each of the films. It's got deleted scenes, documentaries, sounds great. So that does make me excited for the new movie, but depends. They might just like, here's the movie, here's maybe like a bare bones DVD. So, but I would like to think that they would do a bit more for the DVD now that it's such a huge box office hit.
Hopefully they do put it on the DVD. If not, someone's gonna upload it to YouTube.
That's right.
But one thing I wanted to mention about the early death scenes in the movie, I feel like it's the movie makers challenging the audience. Because when he, I think the kid is the first on-screen death that we see in this movie, right? Kevin the dancer.
Yes.
And it's kind of like the movie saying, "Is this really what you want to see right now? Michael's killing kids." And then when he kills the two podcasters and he's just brutally beating that guy to death and he tosses the teeth at the other lady, it's kind of like this, you've been waiting 20 years for Halloween, but is this really what you want to see? Because it's going to get pretty dark. Because it's kind of weird we do sit back and watch movies where people are brutalized and killed and we enjoy it.
We do enjoy it a bit too much.
Right. What did you think of, not Allison, her mom Karen?
I knew that she was going to be in it, and I'm sure I've seen her in quite a few movies. I can't really remember what they are at the time right now, but I'm sure I've seen her in quite a few things, and I've always liked the actress, but it just made me think, oh, she was in the Carrie remake a few years ago, and that didn't do so well. So I was hoping that she wouldn't like poison the movie from being in it. But I thought she was really good in it.
Oh, she was in the Carrie remake. She was
Yes.
like the teacher. Oh man, that is truly an awful film. And I had high hopes for that movie because it's the one with Chloe Grace Moretz, right?
That's right. It was the third time they've done Carrie.
Oh man, and Julianne Moore was the mother. Yeah, I remember that. But she's recently in Jurassic World, and she's in Ant-Man and the Wasp. She's Scott Lang's ex-girlfriend, wife. She's the mother of his daughter. But I thought she
Oh, right.
Yeah, I thought she was a good character in this. I especially liked that scene at the end where she's kind of having a nervous breakdown. You think that she can't, she's like saying, "I can't shoot it. I can't do it, Mom. I can't do it." And Michael falls for it, and she's like, "Got him." She blasts him off. That's cool. But then again, she misses a headshot, which is, come on now.
But so does Laurie, and that's from you see her target practice, which she must do once a day for years, and she's practicing with that model and hits him square in the eyes, and yet she can't do it with Michael when she's like 20 feet away.
It's so frustrating. The only headshot she gets is when she shoots him through the mirror.
Oh yeah.
And everything else is like shoulder shots or in the neck. Of course you can't shoot him in the head because that will definitely kill him, and we have to have room for a sequel. It's just kind of frustrating they turn
Oh no,
into stormtroopers.
because Donald Pleasance shot him in the head a few times in the original Halloween.
He shot both his eyes out in that second one, didn't he?
That's true, he did. But he shot him, even if we ignore that movie, then he did shoot him in the head. I think he shot him in the head six times in the original Halloween.
Did I thought he just shot him in the chest when he shoot him off the balcony?
Oh, I'm thinking at least once he did shoot him in the head. It may have been just when he did grab hold of Laurie and he was strangling her and he shot him that first time.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
sure it was in the head.
yeah. Okay, and Lori stabs him in the eyes, with the coat hanger. So yeah, it wouldn't stop him. I'm pretty sure even if they shot him in the head, they'll just say like the bullet lodges itself in a place that didn't kill him, because he can get shot in the head and survive. One thing this movie does get right is just the feeling of dread and suspense, because a lot of the other movies is just kind of like it's a standard slasher. It's just Michael killing people. None of the sequels really get the atmosphere that Carpenter created with the first movie, and this one I think really nails it. And the music, like, to get a really good Halloween sequel, you have to have the right mask. You got to have one of the original characters, whether it be Dr. Loomis, Laurie, or even Jamie, her daughter, in one of the different timelines. But you got to have the good music. You gotta have that original theme playing in this movie. It modifies it, but it does it well.
What would you say is your favorite Halloween theme? So each of the movies, they make their own version of it. It's not always the
Yes.
same song. What would you say is your favorite?
It would have to be this one. This is the first movie where I left and I was like, I have to go listen to the soundtrack, and I listened to every single song on it, and it's great.
I did, I thought that the only thing that I didn't like, I did like the music from it, but I didn't like the opening shot. So, well, as in after it starts and they have, it's like the pumpkin and then it sort of comes to life, animates
Yes,
itself. I
yes.
didn't like that part of it.
I kind of agree. I like the opening scene, but then it kind of just abruptly cuts to this deflated pumpkin, like really quick. It's just over, and now we're looking at this thing, and it kind of made me laugh a little bit because how silly it was.
But in terms of music, I thought the best was Halloween H2O, that it's really amplified and they've got an orchestra, they've got like really loud sound effects. I think that's my favorite of the themes that they've done for Halloween.
I have to go back and listen to that one. I think my least favorite will be Halloween 5, because no, Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. That's when they are adding guitars in the background, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? A lot of people were complaining about the humor in this movie. Do you feel like they went too far and kind of almost made it a Marvel movie, or are you fine with the levity?
I think they had a good balance to it. So I don't think they used it that much throughout the movie, and it was quite similar to the, I guess, the original Halloween, that they didn't, they had little bits of humor in that movie too. So yeah, but I'm quite a fan of the way they used humor in this movie. What about yourself?
Yeah, it's the humor's fine. I mean, it gets really brutal in some places, and you kind of need a little bit of light to balance out the dark. And plus, it's not that bad. It's a couple of jokes here and there. I think the one that stood out to me as kind of cringe was, "I got peanut butter on my penis." That I feel like they should have said, "Cut. Let's run that back again and do the scene over."
I thought when.
What do you think? Or where do you think the sequel could go?
I had the idea that when Laurie gives $3,000 to her granddaughter, she said, use it, take advantage of it, fuck college, go to Mexico. I was thinking that Laurie would do that, and that's how they would explain why she's not in the next movie, thinking that Jamie Lee Curtis would not want to do this movie, like do Halloween again, that she would try and branch off, and she's done this, but it's just like an homage to the original movie and like celebrate its 40 years, and it's the movie that gave her success, but she wouldn't want to come back and be part of a franchise of four horror films. But now that you've said that she would come back for a sequel, I'm not sure. But I was thinking originally that she would maybe use, think, okay, finally he's dead, and then get away, maybe go to Mexico, maybe go traveling, and then it would focus on her family. So Michael would come back, and I guess it would focus on Allison, and he would come back and try and kill her and her friends. But then I'm not sure, because then that's sort of following the idea of Halloween 4, which they're trying to distance themselves from, that Halloween does not focus on Michael Myers' relatives that he's now trying to kill. So I really don't know.
Because it's really hard to see where I can't see how they're gonna get two more movies out of it. I mean, I guess they're more creative than I am, but I thought that it would be an interesting take if they did like Halloween 2 did, and it continued this very same night where they find that Michael escaped the fire, and it's like a manhunt, because again, he's not after the Strodes. He doesn't really care much about them, so you kind of have to go after him.
Yeah, I can see how that could work. Whereas if they just ended it there and then have to explain how he came back maybe 3 years later, or a year later, then I don't know.
Because he only has what, like 3 fingers left on one hand, or 2 fingers left on one hand? I don't know how they can carry this character on. I mean, he's still strong as shit, and he's Michael Myers. But yeah, I can't really imagine how they're gonna get two more movies out of this story. I'll go see them, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would definitely see them too. So this is the first movie that I've seen in cinemas, and it was a great experience. I was surprised it wasn't more popular, because I seen it opening weekend on a Sunday, and went along. It was a 1:40 PM showing, and I was expecting so many more people, but it was only about 12 people in the screening I went to.
I had a fair amount of people that I saw it opening weekend. I saw it early in the on a Saturday, so there were a few people in the theater. It wasn't empty, But it wasn't packed either. But it's successful financially. I'm surprised a lot more critics don't like it though. It's like a low 70 on the tomato meter.
Oh, that's one thing I've not done, looked at what critics have said about it. So it's 70%, you said.
I think it's a low 70 last time I checked. Maybe it might be. Yeah, just a lot of people are kind of like have mixed feelings for it. I've watched a couple of like amateur critics on YouTube talk about it, and some of them are like, "Yeah, I like it," and others are like, "Eh, it's okay." I feel like a DC Universe fan. Like everyone hates those movies, but I'm like, "It's this one's actually good. This is a good movie." I have to defend this movie, I guess. Yeah, Metacritic has it as a 61.
Not as good.
No, which is shocking. I thought it was a well-made sequel. Also, a little bit of trivia: Danielle Harris, who was Jamie in the 4 and 5, she put in a phone call to see if she can get her character included in this movie, and they said no.
And they have done it twice now, so if they, oh well, actually, we could have done that because Laurie's still in Haddonfield, so she could have been the daughter, I suppose.
Yeah, that would have
Well,
been kind of cool.
that would have been a bit weird because then she would have been in three different versions of Halloween. So in four and
Yeah.
five, then she came back for Zombies remake, and then she's in this timeline and as Laurie's daughter.
It would have been weird, but it's fine because this timeline is hell. Because Lori, technically, she died in 4 in a car crash, she died in Resurrection, and now she's back again.
I was reading that originally they did have an idea to not do the so ignoring films in Halloween H2O, that they sort of tie it together, because when Laurie's having that conversation with her boyfriend, she says she faked her death, which could be in a car crash, so it sort of ties the two stories together. But the fact that there's no mention of her daughter, originally there was going to be a scene where someone read out news reports of Halloween and the murders that Michael Myers committed in the Halloween films, including including Jamie Lloyd, and then Laurie was going to like leave the room and pass out in the bathroom. But then they cut that, and that's all about Jamie, well, sorry, Laurie's
Yes.
image. All around Laurie's image too, because obviously that would make her sound like a horrible mother if she just abandoned her daughter and started a new
Yeah.
life in California, had a son, and was like overprotective of that son, but then completely ignored her daughter. So I can understand why they did that. And for her, but then I think that would, I can see why they wouldn't do that, because then if they dead, then fans would be a bit confused if like we were suddenly involving this character from films that never happened, according to them.
Yeah, it wouldn't work because she can't just you can't just have a character leave their child. Nah, it's good that they ignored those couple of movies. But did you rank the movies from best to worst?
I would say that this would maybe be my fourth favorite. So, Halloween, followed by Halloween 4, then followed that with Halloween H2O, and then followed by this movie.
Yeah, I have Halloween 4 at number 4 on my list. It is a really good movie, though. despite that it doesn't have Jamie in it, or Jamie Lee Curtis. It has Jamie.
What's your least favorite?
Halloween 2 by Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah. Well, ignoring the Rob Zombie movies and ignoring Halloween 3, even though I know you do like that one, but ignoring that one too.
Halloween Resurrection, starring Busta Rhymes.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm torn because Halloween Resurrection, I can sort of enjoy it, but I think it might be Halloween 5 is my least favorite. And I think
That
universally that is the most hated movie of the Michael Myers series.
I have that ranked just above Halloween Resurrection because it is a bad movie. Tina is okay. Halloween 2 by Rob Zombie. I don't like that movie for a lot of different reasons, but in that movie, he talks or he says a word. He says die.
Die.
And I'm like, oh man, this is just, you don't know this character at all. You think he's this badass serial killer? No, he's evil. He's darkness in human form. He's not gonna talk. It's not cool to have him say die. Rob Zombie's terrible. Stop putting your wife in movies.
Oh, actually, now that I think about it, I think, according to fans and critics, like universally, I think Halloween 6 is the most disliked movie. But I actually really like Halloween 6. I remember buying it on VHS tape, watched it quite a few times. I've watched it on TV a few times. I think it's a really rewatchable film. But Halloween 5, I've watched that maybe once, maybe twice, but I don't really have the same attitude to watch it compared to Halloween 4 that I've seen a lot, and Halloween H2O that I've seen many times.
Halloween 5 is the one where Michael goes to buy a pack of cigarettes. That is very silly. And Tina as a character, I really didn't like Tina.
There's also the bumbling cops, like the sidekick cops in it, which
And like
makes it seem like a comedy rather than a horror film.
when they come on screen and say their lines, you hear like this like sprightly tune in the background, like this jaunty music.
In the Power Rangers Bulk and Skull, there was music introducing them on every episode,
Yes.
and it's the exact same music.
That's terrible. What? I don't understand why they did. And it doesn't make any sense either because they're not funny. Yeah, Halloween 6, I can see why people don't like that one because it has all the stuff I hate about the later Halloween sequels. All of that mythology with the mark of, was it the Curse of Thorn? The Man in Black. Michael might have had a kid with his 15-year-old niece. Because they heavily implied that that kid is his, right?
It's either his or the Dr. Wynn's child, but I always believed that it was Michael's child.
Yeah. And then there's that subplot with the kid. I think he's the youngest Strode. Like he might be next. Like he's hearing voices, but then they don't even they go no that goes nowhere. But Paul Rudd is cool, I guess. He's kind of like a Tommy Jarvis type of character. He what is he? He's Tommy Doyle from the
Tommy
first
Doyle.
movie. Yeah.
And I did read that they wanted the original Tommy Doyle in that film, but he didn't have an agent at the time. There was no way in which they could contact him, and then they reached out and hired a new actor. So Paul Rudd, that was one of his first two films that he did, and then he's gone on to be like such a big star now. But
Yeah.
with And that did make me think that with the new movie that we watched, so they did a cameo with PJ Souls. She provided the voice of the teacher, which I thought was good. But I'm sad that they didn't do more of that. So have maybe Tommy Doyle appear in a scene, or like have some of the original actors come back and do something.
Yeah, that would have been cool to have Tommy Doyle or what is What was the other kid? Lindsay?
Oh yeah, Lindsay.
I think they said they wanted to bring Lindsay back for 4 or 5, but they couldn't get it. They couldn't get the actress.
Well, Lindsay is in Halloween 4. She
Is she?
drives Jamie and her sister
Oh.
somewhere, but she's only in it for a few minutes and then she's gone. So she's
But it's not the
not.
original actress.
I think. Oh. I always thought it was. It was the original actress and she comes back, but just for a few minutes, unless it's just the character name and not the actress.
Yeah, but that's what makes these a good Halloween sequel, is always having somebody from one of the original movies. You can't have a movie without with just Michael. He's awesome, but you can't have it with just Michael, because as you saw with Resurrection, it doesn't work.
And when they try and bring in a new character that's the new lead, it never works. You're right. So the only reason that this movie is so popular is because Jamie Lee Curtis agreed to come back to it. I don't believe that it would have like a fraction of the success it's had if she did not decide to come back and then like tying it in with the 40 years after the original movie. So, and I don't see a future for the movies if she doesn't continue to come back with them. The trouble is because she was such a big part in this movie that having it focus on her daughter or one of the other characters that were in this movie, I don't think it could work.
Nope. Yeah, it's, I think in this movie, from what we've seen, I think Allison, she just doesn't have what Jamie Lee Curtis has at that same age, or of the same character, where she should be the final girl. You should be really interested in the fate of her character. And I was like, I couldn't care less, kid. I do like Judy Greer in this. I think she's a stronger character than her daughter. But even still, I wonder if she could carry a Halloween movie without Jamie Lee Curtis, and I don't think so. I think you always need Jamie as Laurie or Donald Pleasance as Dr. Loomis to carry one of these movies.
So, what would you rate the movie?
Okay, so in the tradition of the Vassals podcast, I gave this a 4 out of 5 jack-o'-lanterns. It was so much better than what I thought it was going to be. I didn't think it was going to be as bad as Halloween Resurrection. Just knowing from all the talent behind this and how they were talking about what they were going to do, I knew that they were going to put together a competently made film. I knew at the end of this, I would say, wow, that was, at the very least, I would say it was a C grade average movie. But after watching it, it was amazing. I saw it twice in one day. Michael is scary again. He's menacing. You dread him appearing. Laurie is awesome again. Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie is awesome. The soundtrack, as I've said before, is the best I think since the original. It's definitely because not Jamie Lee Curtis, John Carpenter was at the helm with that. He was crafting it as he did before, and it was great. Yeah, and they get all the small things right. Like the mood, the costume, the mask is a really big part of what makes Michael, what makes a good Halloween movie. You saw in Halloween H2O where there's that brief moment where it's a CGI mask, and that is just awful. But in this movie, they get it right. It looks aged, it looks perfect.
You're right, Halloween H2O, despite being high up on my list, is what a it is the worst, well, one of the worst masks that they have for the Halloween franchise. So this one was like one of the best, so it did like make it more enjoyable that because sometimes with Halloween 4, that's another bad mask. Halloween 5, I hated that one. Halloween 2 was too different compared to the original, even though it's the same night. So There have been very few good Michael Myers masks, but this is one of them. So I'm glad of that, and I think it would have distracted, like it would have been a big distraction if it was another horrible looking mask. So I'm glad of that. With rating, I was really hyped for this movie about a year ago when it was announced, but then I didn't follow the story. It's just like on the day it was announced, it was on Facebook, someone had tagged me on it, and I was like really excited to find out about that. But then I didn't really keep up with the story, had forgotten about it until about 3 weeks ago when I realized, oh yeah, it's in the cinema. Well, it's like due to be released maybe in a few weeks' time. So luckily I had some free cinema tickets, so I knew what movie I wanted to watch. I'm really glad I got to see it and really enjoyed it. I would say with it being number four, I suppose I can't give it too high of a rating, but the original I would rate that as 4.5. So this one I would say 3.5 out of 5.
That's fair. But yeah, it's a really good Halloween sequel. I had in my notes that it's the best Halloween 2 since Halloween 2.
Even though I have said that I can't see the movies working without Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, I'm sure I'll still watch the next movie anyway. Any
Yeah.
Michael Myers related movie, I'll be there for, except for H2. So I'd at the time when Halloween was released, I was really excited about it when oh, it's so confusing to talk about these movies because there's so many movies called Halloween. So this is the third movie that has the title Halloween.
Yes.
What else could they have called this movie?
I think one of the other titles was Halloween Returns.
Oh, but then Halloween Returns, Halloween Return of Michael Myers.
Yeah, and those sequels, they have terrible titles. The Return of Michael Myers,
The
The Revenge
Revenge.
of Michael Myers. They call the sixth one The Curse of Michael Myers because of how bad production was. I think Halloween H2O has. What does that even mean? Like Halloween water?
Know, and it's well, I used to like, well, I still do. I like the idea of it, Halloween H2O water, and it's like 20 years later, but then so many people that are not fans of the series think it's the 20th movie in the series, so it's not the best title.
Do I have to watch Halloween 1 through 19 to understand Halloween 20? Yeah, this was a really good movie, and I am very excited to see what happens next, even though I can't really imagine where the story can go. If Jamie is on board and David Gordon Green is back to directing with, Danny McBride helping out with the script, the next one at least is going to be a decent movie. So yeah, I'm all for it. I am hopeful for the Halloween future.
We'd better wrap this up, but thanks for everyone that's listened to the podcast. Thanks, Kevin, for joining me on this one. Was really excited to talk about it and posted it to the forums. And then after a day where I checked a few times and I thought, oh God, this will be another call to arms that I suggest that no one wants to talk about, and then it'll die. But I'm so glad that you said that you would do it because I was really excited about talking about this.
You actually beat me to it because I was going to post a call to arms because I was like, this movie's great. I want to talk to somebody about it.
And I'm surprised that you watched it twice in one day. That's dedication.
Okay, yeah, just to be fair, I saw it in theaters. I paid for a ticket to see it in theaters. And when I saw it the second time, I found a stream online. So,
Okay.
it was too late in the day to actually go back to the theater. But I was like, I want to see this again. It was really good.
Oh, I thought you meant you watched it in the cinema, the theaters, twice. But yeah, that makes sense. That makes
Yeah.
sense.
I mean, I would have if I had the time, but nah.
Will
It
you
was
see
great
it
talking to you.
again when, will you see it again with this current run where it's still in theaters?
Probably not. The stream I have is really good quality.
Oh, good,
And
good.
if I can save some cash, I will do that. But I mean, I'm definitely going to buy the Blu-ray when it comes out.
Yeah, my fingers crossed that there's some good extras to the DVD, and I'll definitely be buying it. But if it's not, then I might not. I'll probably buy like the digital copy, but not the DVD if there's no extras to it.
True, yeah. But they have to, they should, because they said there's a lot of this was improv, so a lot of unused footage, and there's a lot of scenes that they shot that they didn't include that you see in the trailer. So I would like to see what they left on the editing room floor.
But thanks again for discussing this.
Thank you for having me. Thank you all for
No problem.
listening.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
See ya.